This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let it hang.
Woo,
dude, it's the last time I was on your podcast, a guy named Bogdanow, something Dan Bogdanow,
I remember,
wailed. And now I'm back, more wailing from, good God, who was that?
This is now a wailing podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just discussing like different types of wailing methods.
How hard we wail.
Yeah.
Whale sounds.
Optimal wailing. Yeah.
Amir, tell them who's in the studio, bro.
Billy and Adam.
Hey. Hey.
Bra, 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 bra. We be in the building.
We wailing, y'all.
And we wailing as well.
And we're out of time.
Wailing expert.
Yeah. We're the Wailers from Bob Marley and the Wailers.
And I hope you like wailing too.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Bob Marley?
I don't know. Yes.
We're wailing.
Yeah. Thank you for having us on your awesome podcast.
Dude, thank you for coming.
Fancy podcast
Billy's
studio.
Second episode, Adam's first.
Yes.
Billy and Adam's first.
Yes. And our second in the new studio.
That's right. A lot of firsts and seconds.
It's also your second podcast in the new studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys recorded just before this.
Yeah, just one second before this. Exactly. So 1 second, first, third, and this is our third podcast
in
the new
four
studio.
Of us, and we give each other high fives.
I'll second that.
I'll plead the sixth, which is a different thing.
Exactly.
It's not about silence.
Exactly.
That guy was named Adam. Sorry, no, not Adam. Joe.
You're named Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is Adam. His band is called Kuro Kuma.
Yeah.
Which means black bear in Japanese.
Black bear.
And if you could give our FB page a shout out, that'd be very much so appreciated. Facebook.com/KuroKumaUK.
That song was legitimately a brain melter, I think. Yeah. Is that what they call it? Melt brains? Yeah.
Whoa, my eyebrows are gone.
He calls it a death metal.
Death metal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys into metal? Are you guys metal?
I'm
metal,
a bit of
folks?
A metalhead.
Are you?
Yeah. Amir.
You have a machine head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also into ICP. I'm a juggalo.
Oh, no way. So you're a part of the posse?
Yeah. I'll often go to the juggalo events.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you been to the gathering?
Yeah. I didn't go this year because I went on a little trip to Paris with my mom. But
that's usually
the juggalos too often.
Yeah.
Either drink Faygo in the jungle with a bunch of crazy clowns.
Or go to the City of Light with your mom.
Quick jaunt to the City of Light, yeah.
To Gay Paris.
Yeah.
You know why they call it that, right?
Why?
Because everything is gay there.
Everything's gay. Everything's gay there. isn't there some correlation, and I'm not just trying to butter you up, but I actually think this is true, between like geniuses or people who have like incredibly high IQs or people whose just brains work really well, astrophysicists and like really smart people, and heavy metal. And juggalos.
I'm also not into heavy metal.
Oh, okay.
So there probably is.
Probably right.
Because I'm a total moron.
Yeah. Me too. And I'm also not into heavy metal.
Isn't there a correlation between being a sociopathic liar and being highly intelligent, though?
I would believe that. I would relate to that.
And also, being super into Drake. Because then I'm there.
Yeah. Everything about me is what highly intellectual people do.
Tick all the boxes.
Billy and Adam, we're having you on a show because you just started a podcast of your own on our network.
That's right.
That's right.
Jake's been on it. I've been on it.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been on it together. But if we wanted to at least expose you guys to our audience.
We appreciate it.
Because I feel like there's a lot of overlap here.
Yeah.
Billy and Adam are a little bit like Jake and I.
Yeah. Everybody liked Billy on the podcast last time.
Yeah, and so if they don't like this, I wonder what the variable will be.
Yeah, probably the new studio. And yeah. They could probably hear the sound quality or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm so charming and wonderful that I can't imagine.
Anybody could ever find. Does anybody hate you? You are so likable. Have you ever had an enemy, Adam?
Only me.
No.
Adam.
Just me.
Adam was bullied. back in the day as a kid, and then on East 63rd Street in Manhattan where I lived, we were on the elevator going up to my apartment, and who was on that elevator with us? His childhood bully.
Who happened to live in Billy's, adult Billy's building in New York City.
And he was still a child, right?
Still a child.
Amazing.
Incredible.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but like a year later, did he die?
Yeah, that was a sad coda to that story, so I guess I won that one.
How did he die? Really?
Yeah, that's a sad but true story. My elementary school bully. He was a little aggressive with me. He pushed me into a soccer goal once.
Yeah, but that's childhood bullies. I don't count as like actually disliking you. Yeah. They dislike themselves.
Exactly.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Point. Yeah.
As an adult, like I've had people that don't like me. They like, oh, Amir's not nice. He's not friendly. I don't like him as a human. Does anybody think that about you?
To my detriment, I think I go out of my, so far out of my way and spend a lot of time worrying and concerned that people might feel that way. Right. So I take a lot of preemptive actions to make sure nobody feels that way, please like me.
And tell me this, does that make people who are really close to you, like your closest friends?
Yeah.
Actually, they have a problem with that.
Absolutely.
See, I
definitely, as they should, and I have a problem with it.
Right.
And who's closer to me than
me? I try to be nice to everybody, but then I find the people that are closest, the ones that I really love, they're like, "What are you doing?
Be real with me for a second."
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, because you're nicer to strangers than you are your friends, or because they think you're fake to themselves. The friends think that they're fake to you. You're fake to them.
In my experience, it's been people I love saying you're overextending yourself to no benefit.
Yep.
Like you need to stop doing that.
I hear a lot of that.
You mentioned our podcast. It's called No Joke. And 2 weeks ago we had Milana Weintraub, a friend of yours and who was also on Lonely and Horny.
Right. Yes.
And we had talked about like kind of overextending yourself or trying to be like over friendly or just make sure that you are received well. Yeah. And I told her that I'm growing out of that phase now. And one way that this is manifesting is that I'm trying not to use exclamation points in my emails anymore. Because I feel like that is such a cheap way to tell someone how excited you are to be communicating with them, when if you're just saying sounds good, that's a period.
Yeah.
That's not a sounds good. See you in five.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Triple that sounded really good.
Yeah. Triple exclamation point is for like it's a boy or it's a girl and that's it.
So you're going straight period?
Yeah, and I'll tell you that a lot of people I can sense a weirdness when they write back as if they think that they're in trouble or like there's some sort of rift between us.
I bet.
Just get used to, this is how we talk, guys. We talk normally.
I would even go so far as to say that a nice, almost maybe a bridge or a happy medium would be no punctuation at the end.
Oh, you
know, it's very sort of millennial just to like say the thing and let it be a phrase without sort of exclaiming.
That may lead to more confusion.
A little more confusion.
Yeah.
Was this email finished?
Do you guys sign your emails? Adam, Billy, Amir, Jake, do you write the name at the end?
I write Jake.
You read Jake.
I read most of the time.
Yeah. That's so weird.
It's actually, that's why we had you on the podcast.
It's super confusing.
About that. Because you're also writing from our emails.
Because I'm taking your checkbooks.
I write Amir at the end of my emails, and I'm starting to think, I think it's because I'm 33, where I'm like those parents that write their names at the end of texts, where I'm like, I'm out of date. Like,
that is so
kids
funny.
Are like, why are you writing your name? I know it's from you.
From you.
It really depends. It depends on the email, though. I think it's still a professional thing to do. If I start an email with like, a hey somebody comma
gotta finish space, it with yours
then I like just you know just being symmetrical like having it look nice is signing it.
I think it comes from like writing emails used to represent letters, now emails are like instead of text.
But I think if you're like on the 33rd message of a thread, you're not still writing hey, then it's just a body of text,
right?
And then it's fine,
you know.
But
who we're,
right. First email I'll sign it.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck. I'll sign it.
Yeah.
There's a girl on Harvard Sailing Team. Her name's Jen. Our comedy team is called Harvard Sailing Team. And she works in comedy theaters, and she's often the liaison between trying to bring money into the theater and just trying to be a professional person. Yeah. And she wrote a professional email to somebody, and her signature, she wanted to write Sincerely Jen, but she accidentally wrote Seriously Jen.
Which,
you're not going to believe this.
Seriously. Jen.
Speaking of making people happy, why don't we make our audience happy and answer a few questions? This is, after all,
nice
an advice podcast.
Really, it is.
Segue of the year.
So, Adam, you've never been on the show, so I can explain it to you as though you've never even listened to it. I don't know if you have or haven't, but this is an advice podcast.
Great.
People will email us. They're in difficult places and sticky situations, seeking our wisdom, our guidance. Sometimes it's me and Jake. Sometimes we have our friends and lovers in the studio. Mm-hmm. Right now we have both.
Nice. God.
One of you is a friend. One of you is a lover.
And it's up to each other to find out which.
Two is not like the other.
I thought a fun thing to do would be, since we have guests in the studio, sometimes we play a game where we just search our Gmail for a word. that's kind of rare.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That's good.
We call it the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never met the Game Boy, but I've heard of his podcast. He is a very mysterious man. I'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
He speaks in a different intonation.
Yeah,
different
dialect.
It's almost arrhythmic. You don't know what the Game Boy is up to or what he's going to say.
Let me dip into the Game Boy character really quick. Oh, the Game Boy.
Wow. Yeah, here he is.
Game Boy has arrived.
Where did Jake go? Is Jake still here?
Yeah, he's in the scene.
Oh my God,
that's back of my head.
You're levitating.
I am the Game Boy.
So the goal is to find a word that isn't. We have 15,000 emails. It's ideally found in just one, or at least as close to it as possible.
15,000 emails at this point.
We're under 15,000 at this point.
Intern of the year, Marissa just started.
Yeah, she's kicking
our
ass.
Email game
really?
Right now.
Yeah, she's going through the emails, making sure that we answer only the best of the best.
Wow. Thank you, Marissa.
About how many emails do you guys get? Honestly, that's an interesting question.
We really do have 15,000. We had 15,000 as just of a week insane. Ago.
Now we're dipping under.
But it's like a 40 to 50 a day, maybe?
Yes.
So, Adam, do you think you have a name, a word, a word that exists only in a few emails of our 15,000?
Okay, let me think and really be reasonable at this. 15,000 emails, people in trouble. I want to say garage.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you have 12 emails that have the word garage.
12?
I'm going to say we have 33.
What? That would be like, hey guys, love your podcast. I listen to it all the time in my garage.
Wow, that's very close. We have 37.
Whoa, 37 emails.
I'm good at guessing
Jake's
numbers.
Jake's a people pleaser.
Can we go on? Right? I'm fucking real good with guessing numbers, man.
So is the goal then to get one of those 37, or do we want to bring it down even further to the one?
I think out of this one, Adam, why don't you just give me a number 1 through 37, and I'll choose that email.
15, thank you.
Wow, that was so quick.
That's the way I already knew. Wow, I can't believe you have 37 emails with the word garage.
All right.
That shouldn't surprise me too much.
We've never read this email before.
Okay.
Could be great, could be awful.
Great.
We're about to find out together.
Cool.
It seems like a man's name, so let's give him a fake name to preserve his anonymity.
Okay.
What do you got? What?
Ted?
Ted what?
With two D's.
Ted with two D's?
Yeah, yeah.
That's his last name is with two D's.
Yeah, with two D's.
Oh,
it's Ted with two D's.
That's right.
And then how do you spell Ted?
Just with one D. T-E-D, last name with two D's. Yeah.
With two D's
his
is
parents,
a
mean parents.
Oh, God,
his
I
parents
love it.
Suck.
That's my favorite name I think we've ever had in this
Ted
show.
With two D's.
Yeah, full name Edward with two D's. Which does have two D's. Hey, JNA and Adam and Billy.
Yes.
Huge fan of the program and everything you do. Keep it up. Here's my problem. I'm a 19-year-old guy, and I'm facing a crossroad in my life. I'm currently working part-time as an apprentice for a contractor who builds and repairs garage doors.
Ding, 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 ding.
It pays very well, and he recently told me that come June, he wants to hire me full-time, which would mean I would make even more money and be sitting pretty easy.
Nice.
I would also be his first employee for his first own business, which would mean that when his company starts expanding, I would become an executive. Financially, this is a dream come true.
Okay.
On the other hand, me and my best friend had a passion to pack up and move to Portland, Oregon to start our own business.
Ooh.
Our business plan is amazing, and it would involve art, production, and music, which we both share a drive for. We had planned on leaving for Oregon in June when we had saved up enough money. Being stuck in my boring hometown wouldn't be the most exciting thing to me, but making a bunch of money and having a job with so much room for advancement sounds great and is a way safer option. Moving to Portland would be more exciting and fun, but would also be a much bigger risk if I had fail at all, and if I succeed, I'd be living my dream job.
Yeah.
So what should I do? Move to Portland with my best buddy and follow our dreams, or stay in my hometown and start a career as a contractor? More importantly, what would you guys do?
Mm-hmm.
Any advice on this would be greatly appreciated. I'd love to hear what both of you have to say on this issue. Toda, love, Ted. With two D's.
With two D's.
Okay.
There's a common question we get.
Really?
It's people needing a kick in the butt or
do I do the safe thing or follow my dreams?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever reached that crossroads in your life?
We followed our dream right out of college. We knew we were going to do comedy. We graduated and we lived broke for 5 years and just did comedy. So
did you have a safe option? What was the safe option? No comedy, go home and do what? Did
Man,
you have a garage door contractor that you could have fallen back on?
I barely have a garage in my house, to be honest with you. I had and have no backup plan.
Adam,
if it goes poorly, I'll just die that day.
Worth noting that up until graduating college, Adam was a singing telegram.
Yeah, so the backup plan was also a joke in a way. So like,
he was
yeah.
a singing
you
telegram.
You really were a singing telegram?
I was, yeah. That was like my home from summer and winter break college gig back
How
in my hometown.
How often did you get sent out on... gigs.
Way too often. Yeah, it was both adult singing telegrams and children's birthday party entertainment. So like on the weekends, I would be dressing up in a bunch of kids' costumes.
Such as who?
Well, such as Barney and Mickey and Peter Pan, etc., except she didn't have the legal rights to all these names, so all the characters had to be Benny the Purple Dinosaur. Not Elmo, E-L-M-O, but L, just an L-Mo.
Not SpongeBob.
SpongeRob. So I was like going to a lot of these children's birthday parties dressed like an asshole and doing that, or sometimes going to TGI Fridays dressed as Zorro and singing to my friend's parents for their 50th anniversary.
I remember when I was on the No Joke podcast, the subject was jobs, and all
right.
Adam did was talk about his jobs, and I just laughed for half an hour.
That's right.
At one point, this business devolved into you being a male stripper.
Stripper, that's right.
They were called BLTs.
This same business?
Same one. Because the woman who ran...
Did she just have you as an employee?
Absolutely correct.
Correct, chick. Correct. You had a pimp. That's what
correct.
It was.
Correct, chick.
Absolutely correct. All right. Absolutely correct.
Adam would leave the office dressed as a sexy female nurse.
Female.
Sometimes.
Nurse Joseph.
To strip. So I don't even know
ever
who...
get paid?
Yeah, I got paid $35 a pop.
All right.
Yeah,
that's $35
a pop. Regardless of how many hours, that could have been less than minimum wage at that point.
Yeah, well, the gig itself, it was like, you know, the Zingagram, which is the name of the bit, the sort of each little event was supposed to be like 45 to 50 minutes, but depending on my tolerance for humiliation, it would vary.
Right. The job started in June. By August, people were running train on Adam.
he was a bukkake Thai lady boy. They would saran wrap him. 12
Elmo,
Japanese
Benny
business
the dinosaur, and cum dumpster Adam. Everybody mostly wanted cum dumpster.
Yeah.
Weird. Wasn't even on the website. They just knew.
It was word of mouth / garbage pail kid that they subscribed to.
I love that the going rate for shame was $35 an hour.
And I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Happy to do it.
So not a bad rate.
Yeah,
so in a way, you did both the hard job to make money and the dream job to do comedy.
Yeah, in a way, I guess. And I guess I did. Yeah. I mean, I personally, I relate to this struggle in a sort of like I've seen movies about this.
Yeah.
And like I can relate to this struggle sort of in the abstract. But I personally, for me, Adam, it would be an easy decision to sort of like, I would say, follow your dream, move to Portland. You're 19 years old.
Yeah.
You have your whole life ahead
there's
of you.
There's a ton
which is,
of time to press the reset button.
Right.
You could do that at 25.
Seriously.
And you're still Gucci.
Right. It's
exactly.
True. Yeah, I often, after have done comedy for 12 years, now I actually fantasize about working on a construction site, which is interesting. I've got my dreams out of the way, and now it's like, I just want to be like a good blue-collar dude
now. Woodworking apprenticeship sounds fucking
amazing.
Like, I want that.
All right, you guys have probably talked about your new studio. For everyone at home, it's this incredible, incredible, huge garage, loft, there's two levels, it's totally awesome. But what I am most envious of you guys, not owning and running this business, I'm watching you build desks.
Oh.
And I just give me an excuse to build a desk with my buds.
We had a closet that we have to put in. Dude.
You guys are out of town for a week. You're going to come back with the sweetest closet of broken shelves because I don't work on a construction
site.
Yeah,
you don't know. You don't actually have the skill set to do it.
That's my dream.
You just have the passion.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You do seem like a handyman.
You asked me.
Because you're strong and you have glasses.
Right. That's you asked me. You hung cool shingles in your studio and you said, is that something that you can do? And yeah. I couldn't say no fast enough. Couldn't say no fast enough.
But wouldn't you guess yes looking at Billy?
Yeah.
Long Island, strong guy.
Yeah. I mean, at 19, and Portland's a really hopping city. I feel like there's a lot of sort of like culture there. Yeah. That
failing in Portland is so much more fun than succeeding in small town USA.
But one thing,
that's my instinct.
We're not considering how exciting the garage door industry is, though.
That's true. So
that's a lot of fun.
Who knows what's happened since like, because when we were a kid, they slid up and slid down.
French garage doors, that's
kind
of cool.
Slowly opening like a barn.
Automatic, you know, the glass door.
Yeah, sometimes
there
are one
kidding?
Hard.
There's no such thing as that. The French garage doors.
I've seen them. Yeah, the big bay.
That's amazing.
I grew up in New England. There was a lot of that.
Yeah. Did you guys have the garage that were slats that curved around the opening, or was it one piece of wood that just sort of lifted and?
Oh yeah,
fell
I've
down?
Seen that too.
Yeah.
I remember the slats one.
You don't remember like the one that like curves up like that.
I do remember that one.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
How would you guys innovate the garage door if you could? Say you're him. And you're trying to find this one excuse to be like, you know what? I could put my stamp on the garage door.
Tell you what,
if I went,
it goes down into the earth.
Oh
my God!
Wait, no reason it has to go up, and then you gotta like, then your overhead's really low.
Yes,
this is like
wait,
a five
brat
cave.
Just it goes down in the DM.
Yeah, goes down in the DM.
It goes down. It goes down.
Yeah.
Wow, in the DM.
I see your girl. I see your man. I hate to be him.
Oh, I see. You know? So you slid it into the DM.
I slid it into the DM.
That's amazing.
This guy, it's so clear. If you're 19 and you have a chance to go to Portland with your best friend, you should do it.
Duh. Right.
Like, the Duh. End.
I once saw a video on Facebook of Jim Carrey giving a commencement address, and it was kind of sad, but I guess the message was clear to this guy.
We all
like,
saw that.
My dad did the safe thing and failed. Mm-hmm. I wish he just followed his dream, because like you can fail and succeed at things that you like, right. or things that you don't. You might as well do what you like, because right. even if you do play it safe, you can fail.
You could very this garage door business could very well go under.
Absolutely.
And then you're an executive of nothing.
Of nothing.
And you never went to Portland.
Exactly. What's inevitable is failure. I guess that's what we're saying.
Because you all end up failing at life.
For
we all
sure.
die eventually.
Okay?
That's the most epic fail. Fail of all.
Life fail, yeah.
He who
breathing
dies,
fail.
He who dies with the best stories win. So go to Portland and win. Get some good stories. You're 19 years old.
Yeah, 19 is the time to fail.
Exactly.
All right.
And 24 and 35. Yeah. And 41 is a good time to fail.
And then it's like, all right, that's enough failure.
Okay, 41's the cutoff. Yeah. Start succeeding, please.
You fail at 42, that's breathing failure.
Yeah. Billy, do you have a word?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a word?
Yeah, I have a word. My word is racehorse.
Mm. Wow.
Is that one a single word or is that two?
I'm about to find out if somebody used it as one
I
word.
I can't imagine anyone has been emailing you about race. I just can't imagine. Maybe I'm dumb and naive.
I bet, like, piss like a racehorse.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, Jake.
It wasn't a one word. Let me search two with quotes around it.
Oh, so we're like, my dad would always use that phrase and I would get embarrassed every time.
Nothing. No racehorse.
Is that really? A good thing or a bad thing?
You lose the game.
God, game boy's back!
To win the game, you find one email
okay.
that is this single email in all 15,000 that has that word. It's happened before.
Yeah.
We've gotten it before.
Has a fan of Jake and Amir made a fake Twitter person for the Game Boy?
No.
The Game Boy has no Twitter.
Has anyone photoshopped what they imagine the Game Boy looks like?
Yes.
And what does he look like? RoboCop Jake?
It was Jake's face on a Game Boy.
Oh, good.
That's fun.
That's really nice.
In the pixelated, in the green screen pixelated.
Yeah,
or on top of the boy itself. Okay.
Yeah.
So we need another word?
Yeah.
Can I take one more chance?
Yes, you can.
Race card.
Race card? Like someone played it?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Interesting.
Race motif.
Yeah.
No race card either.
Okay.
Is that one
sucks
word
at this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you invite Billy on the show in the first place?
Two words, but with quotes around it.
Give him one more go.
One more go?
Take yeah, let's go. Off. Let's go one word because the two one yeah. is tripping us up.
Pantry.
That's a good one. That's a really, really good one.
That's a good one.
The diner in my hometown is called the Pantry Diner. Shout out Rockville Center, Long Island.
Okay.
Nothing, Billy.
it's a lot of Nature Box ads. Nature Box orders.
Does Nature Box have a question for you?
But there is a few that are non Nature Box.
Let's do it.
People misspelling panty.
Yeah.
That's true.
My pantries were so wet.
She was wearing granny pantries.
Granry pantries.
God, there was a funny subject that I'm looking for.
Take it down, buddy.
What's that?
Take your time.
Yeah, enjoy the silence.
You guys.
I'm still thinking about garage doors going into the ground instead of up into the house.
Cool.
That is actually genius, Jake. Yeah. You should.
We should totally start a construction site.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool, dude. Yeah. Just a pile of wood.
Do something with it.
Found a good one.
Good.
Tweet at us.
What is this guy's name, William?
Pardon me?
What's this guy's name?
That was the name. Pardon me.
Pardon. Wow. Pardon me, he's Asian.
Pardon me, he's Asian. Rights.
He's Asian, right?
So this is a very weird problem, but I need a solution ASAP.
Oh, God. Urgency.
This email was written 2.5 years ago.
This guy is long dead.
We have not
as
read
soon
it.
As possible. Turns out possible was
this
today.
This is the first time anyone's opened it. So my best friend... My best friends have some very weird obsessions with my dog. Yeah. I went out of town for a week and I let my dog PETA, great name,
yeah.
PETA, stay with him while I was gone. I got home yesterday and I swear I saw a tear running down his cheek. A tear running down his cheek. I was like, oh God. Yeah. I swear I saw a tear running down his cheek when I took my pup back. Since I took home PETA, he's been stealing all the peanut butter from the pantry.
Uh-oh.
I think this might be a joke.
Yeah.
And eating all of it. So I know my best friend's secret Twitter account, and he tweeted something about loving the feel of peanut butter being slurped off his smooth, silky skin.
Hmm.
This is a joke email.
It sounds like a joke.
God damn it.
I am seriously creeped out. And then yada yada. So this is an example of another type of email we get, which is people fucking with us.
Yeah.
Now, do you can't believe that... we gave this guy the time of day.
Yeah.
But let's talk.
Billy, you have lost the game. Oh, you have lost. You should epically, sir.
There's something valiant about losing as bad as I've lost up to this point.
That's
can
true.
We talk about this for a second? Do you think that he wrote this email in hopes that two of his favorite comedians and people he looks up to would think he was funny and like be psyched by it? What do you think? Why Wait, do you think he wrote this email?
Because I actually just lost respect for him. He wasted my time.
Exactly.
But I would think that it would be that. If I'm like, if I'm a fan of the podcast, I just want, Jake Amer to think I have a silly story to tell.
Oh, damn, this guy's super funny. We got to get him on the show.
Oh, just answering in his fantasy world? Where we're just like praising him and asking him to come on the program.
Right, and then we're just doing a bunch of bits about dogs licking off.
I found a real pantry email.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
So let's say this guy writes, same name?
Or yes.
Name? Same name. Pardon me?
Pardon me.
All right.
From Asian. He's pardon me, he's Asian.
Right. Recently, I took a bottle of olive oil from the family pantry.
Yes.
And have been using it as lube when I masturbate.
This sounds real.
I had been keeping the bottle in my bedside drawer. When I arrived home from school the other day, I was about to go for a quick wank when I realized the olive oil had been replaced by a real bottle of lube.
Yes, dude.
While the upgrade has enhanced the masturbating experience, I am so alarmed that someone knows of my habits.
Right.
I can't possibly ask who switched the bottles.
Definitely can't.
And have no idea how to approach the issue.
Yes.
What should I do?
Run
Never
and hide.
Say anything.
Love,
yeah.
Pardon
and
me.
Hide.
Nothing?
Jerk off in peace.
You
it's
don't,
funny he, that he's like, oh, this is so embarrassing as he's jerking off with the lube that's been replaced.
Have you guys ever done the emergency lube replacement of something in a pantry?
What's interesting to me, I've never. What's interesting to me is that someone was able to put the pieces together that the olive oil, he was using it for masturbation.
Yeah, cool, like, mom or something.
Yeah, but how does that mom even, like, even put...
If it's in your top drawer, then, like, she knows that...
Everything in your top drawer is basically used for masturbation.
Yeah. Everything in your top drawer, your desk drawer is, like... masturbation. That's how I know I grew up, because now I keep my lotion in the bathroom.
Right.
Like, now I don't have to share a bathroom with my mom and my sisters and my dad and my brother. I'm like, okay,
this is my olive oil.
Right. I have salt. What you got to do is start just like putting other stuff from the pantry in your desk, so your mom thinks maybe it wasn't
some lettuce, a radish.
Oh, I just like to have
a radish. Yeah.
He leaves a radish there, and then the next day it's just an anal bead. I see what you're doing. You're shoving a salad up your ass.
You're the crazy one, mom. You're mental.
Do you think, ironically enough, the olive oil was extra virgin? Hey, this is If I Were You.
Drop the mic.
What?
Drop the mic. Tip it over on the ground.
Wait, one second, because it's kind of, these are expensive.
Very fragile, but I'll
think tilt
you should
it.
Drop it. I really think that warrants a little.
Hold on one second.
It's going to touch the ground.
You guys talk, because I can't. Right. If I drop it, then I can't.
I think you should drop it.
Right. I'll lower it onto
slowly,
the ground.
Slowly, yeah. Like, just kiss the ground with it.
So I'm starting to lower it now.
Right. Yep. This is such a wrap moment.
And remember what he said was...
How long am I...
Just,
no, you just gotta
just
go.
Tip it.
You just,
come on.
Dip it into
the
ground.
The olive oil was also
extra
virgin. Oh, the crowd goes crazy. And
then,
here's the mic drop.
Here we go.
I just feel bad is all.
No,
just
I'm
just
gotta
do it. Tip it on the ground.
It's not even reaching the ground.
Yeah, it would. If you just...
It will. It will.
All right.
Nice.
Boom!
Mic drop.
Shit. Now, like, wait, guys, the mic stand is
a lot
all
of static.
Fucked up. Now I can't figure out the mic stand part of it.
Yeah, the olive oil.
It tipped it over.
That is one of those moments, though. As a kid, I've never been caught masturbating by a parent, but I will say that is one of those stomach drop moments. Like,
yeah.
That is a that is a hard.
You'll never forget that.
Yeah. No way.
You only remember like 10 things in between the age of 10 and 20, and that'll be like definitely one of them.
I got caught with porn like multiple times when I was...
Magazines? Videos?
Everything.
Yes.
The first time I ever had porn was like I stole a Playboy from my dad's office.
Okay.
And it was like... my parents thought it was sort of funny. They knew that I had it.
Yeah.
And then there was a time when I like stayed home from school and I was like looking at porn on the computer. This is before I knew that history was a... thing.
Oh.
And my dad came. My dad came home mid... I used to print out nude pictures
on
the internet. My dad came home for lunch. I was home alone. My dad came home. He's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I was watching TV." And I like... He's like, "Why is the printer turned off?" And I was like...
It's still... it's like a dot matrix. It's still going.
Oh my
God. This girl better be wearing a bikini.
Was this only in my hometown, but in school playgrounds, like in the sand and stuff, if there was ever like a magazine page like in the sand, you knew immediately it was like weird porn.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, what sand?
You find stuff in the woods.
Like in the sandbox. Like, oh, you're playing
like in,
yeah,
the,
in the woods or
of
something.
Of the elementary school?
Yeah. If you would just ever see a ripped page, a magazine page anywhere in society, frankly, it was porn. Like some sort of weird porno it's page.
So, what a weird dystopian past that we had where we like we needed printouts of porn. They should have that in like Mad Max. Everybody should, you know, just have like the gas mask and the their like water pouch, and then also a tiny little
And then at the end, he has a lever that drops like tits everywhere. They're like, oh my god, Valhalla, it's finally here. That's the porn. That's the bandwidth.
That was an enormous waste of water, by the way. At the end, for a city so needing of water, just to pour it out. I mean, get some tubes going. Yeah.
It was sort of a show of a change in the future, but like. You really shouldn't just let it flow forever. Yeah. There's like not a lot.
Right. Yeah. At least have a little plan.
I agree.
Conservation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and thank a few more sponsors, and then we'll be right back with more Mad Max commentary after this.
Cool.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn.
And
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Hey, we're back. What was with the spray paint, the silver spray paint that that guy was eating?
Yeah, that also
was that like so food that to him drug. Or a drug?
It's like it just got him jacked up a little
but
bit.
But like, could yeah, I feel like it, when it got into his mouth, that would do more damage than good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sprayed in the air or something like that.
I don't think
like
they cared about the damage it was doing to their body. They were all disgusting and depraved. And they had like goiters on their neck that were killing them slowly.
I know, but if I didn't have water, the last thing I would do is like spray like noxious gas into my mouth.
Well, you can't really, I mean, it's like talking to a meth head about being like, oh, are you well hydrated?
Yeah, they weren't even actually thinking.
Sort of missing the forest for the trees there.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Did you guys like that movie, Mad Max?
I loved Mad Max.
I didn't. Or at least when I watched it, I was giggling the whole time, thinking everyone's going to think this is like an absurd non-story.
That's a funny.
And then we left, and people were like, everyone that movie just changed my life. Yeah. I was like, why?
I had the same exact experience, but not with... No, with Mad Max, but not with the story.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too loud and crazy. Like, no, like people are not liking this, right?
Yeah.
And then when I left, I saw it with Jake and Marty, and they're like, that was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Like, so
I almost had to leave. It was so loud.
Yeah. we have like we're sensitive.
Did you think it was really loud?
It's too loud. Way too loud.
None of you guys liked it?
I liked it on second viewing. The first time I have it, well, we saw it together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it together. And yeah, it seemed to me like like one chase scene. I was like, well, this is like silly. Like, I get that it's like cool and whatever, but like, this is kind of dumb. Like, there's literally no story to be
Yeah, the making of Mad Max is probably a much better movie than Mad Max to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right.
But everyone loved it. I think we're in the minority.
I think that's fine. I love action movies. I thought it was fucking dope.
It was.
Did not disappoint in any way.
Yeah. I watched it again like a couple months later on HBO and it was dope.
Jake, you've gone to Burning Man.
Because you can control the volume.
Exactly.
I was just saying that you've been to Burning Man, much like Adam and I have. Did you see shades of Burning Man in Mad Max?
Totally. I mean, the monster cars are...
The art cars all exist there.
They all... They're the same thing.
It's Burning Man.
It is Burning Man. Yes. And I mean, like, the dystopian thing where there's no money. You're always thinking about, how do I get water?
Right.
That's
true.
And also, I was kidnapped and strapped to a car.
There was that too.
At Burning Man.
It was by Charlize Theron. Yeah, it was a lot like Mad Max.
the whole steampunk vibe is like.
Yeah.
Would you go? Would you go, Amir?
Never, ever, ever.
Never would go to Burning Man.
Yeah, that would be like watching Mad Max for a week straight for me.
Got it. Right.
Only I'm actually in the desert.
Right.
So it's even less comfortable.
Do you like camping?
I like camping after the fact.
Right.
So when I'm done, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I went camping.
Right.
But I'm never actively seeking to go
camping. You like having camped.
Yeah, I like having gone camping.
It's like working out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad I did. I feel a little refreshed.
Yeah, it's like exercise for my mind, for my soul.
I went on a trip to Morocco, and I didn't know how much I enjoyed it, or I couldn't even tell myself I enjoyed it until I got home and was eating Wendy's in America, and I was like, oh, Morocco was great.
Yeah. That's part of the entire camping experience and the Burning Man experience. Like, I never appreciated a shower as much as I did in a Motel 6, like in Reno, when I finally got back. It's like, oh my God, this is glorious.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? That's what they say.
Your bar of comfort is lowered way, way down. I actually have a question about the olive oil masturbator, though.
Oh, yeah. I just have a few thoughts
on that.
Yeah.
Which is, I would be concerned that I would get, much like George Costanza in that episode of Seinfeld, that I would get my hunger and erotic instincts confused.
Pavlovian.
If you're masturbating with food, that to me, it
that
just...
That oil.
Can you imagine if this guy could also suck his own dick? And like how amazing that would taste.
And he was Italian.
A little butter, olive, like maybe some...
Vinaigrette. Yeah.
I think
just
pepper.
Like just a little bit of vinegar would really go a long way.
Yeah.
And then a balsamic.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, if he's out to dinner and all this. Yeah, the Italian, the waiter comes over and it's like a little olive oil and vinaigrette. Does he get horny?
I would say nothing.
Ashamed?
Nothing comes out of a bottle more like semen than that olive oil out of that little metal spigot.
Out of a stopper.
Yeah. It's so funny to imagine him at like a restaurant with his mom, with like them pouring like a little bit of olive oil over a big long piece of meat.
Oh, like, honey, chicken, mother. Why are you putting olive oil on your hot dog? Those two. I don't know, Mom. Yeah. I don't know.
You're breathing awfully heavily right now, Jeremy.
The telltale cock.
Yeah.
Just fucking Pavlovian response, sensory overload. Yeah, exactly. I can't take it anymore.
Exactly.
I masturbate with oil.
Is that healthy? Like, what if the olive oil got into his urethra?
Yes, exactly.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
I'm a doctor.
I guess you can eat it, so it's like fine
it's
if
organic.
It's in your body.
Yeah. If you can eat it, you can also shove it in your dick.
In. That's true. I actually have a little bit of mashed potatoes up my cock right now.
A gravy. Well, how about what would you do? Would you go around like a witch hunt asking who replaced the bottle?
No. Of course not, because then you tell everyone in your family.
Correct.
You really have to guess
that
correctly.
You masturbated. Like right now, best case scenario, only one person knows.
Yeah.
Right. And they replaced it before anybody else.
You'd have to nail it.
You know what you do? you put olive oil all over the house in weird places.
That's like,
you throw them off the trail. It's like, yes, of course there was olive oil. Like, why would you put cream here? Like, I also, did you not look in like the bathroom cabinet? Like, I put it, and did you not look in like the living room on the living room table?
Then your problem is so much weirder. It's like, I wasn't using it to lubricate my masturbation. Right. I just hide it around the house.
Yes. Right.
Like, okay, well now you have to see a therapist. Yeah,
exactly. I once got in a car with some friends of ours, and one of our friends is a terrible driver, and I meant to text another one of our friends saying, I didn't know that I was going to be in the murder car, because the murder car was driven by this friend who was inevitably going to kill us. Well, it turns out that I sent that text to her.
Whoops.
And so my fight or flight moment decision was send her 10,000 more texts with nonsensical sentences.
Yeah, bury it.
Until she would approach me and be like, hey, what's the deal with all these wacky sentences? And it worked.
It did work.
And it worked because that sentence was part of a plethora of other like nonsense.
But it was the first one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like you buried it in the middle.
Right. Exactly. The first. And so that's why I say put olive oil now all over your house, just jars of olive oil everywhere. And then masturbation will just be another possibility. Maybe he has just a weird thing.
I'd rather be a guy who cabinet. She like replaces it with toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't even need to be olive oil. You can just start putting things where they don't belong all over your house.
So this lady,
your mother.
The driver gets out of the car, looks at her phone, and then she has 50 messages. For
yes.
You. First one is, I didn't know I'd be on the murder car. Second one is what?
The next one was just like, haha, when are you getting here? And it was just like, now she has no idea what's happening.
And then the third one is like, my name is Prince Edward, Queen of Croatia. Yes,
literally, like the challenge was coming up with so many different non-connecting sentences to just make it seem like this crazy. And we got to the restaurant we were going to, and as soon as she didn't see any of those texts until she sat down, and then she looks up, she's like, Billy, 50 texts? You're so weird. And I was like, I'm so weird. And I'm looking at all my friends like, fucking murder car. Murder car. I almost murdered myself.
The funniest thing is if you sent her 50 texts to throw her off and then the car flipped over.
Yeah.
There are no clues here. I mean, there was a murder text thing, but there was also 50 other 50 ones.
When Billy gets blamed for the murder, it was this guy that had texted her 50 times.
It looked like he had had a stroke or something because he texted her pretty much 50 non-sequitur texts.
But you got to know your audience because a savvy person would read the first one and be like, what the hell is this all about? And question that immediately before going through the next 49.
That's right.
Game Boy, do you have a question, a last word to search?
Yes. Yes, the Game Boy does.
Okay.
Hen.
It's a good one.
That awkward moment, hen.
Hen is good.
Hen is good.
TFH, that feeling hen.
This is really funny. Some guy.
How many hen emails are there?
Right now there are 8. One of them is lonely and horny forward. The guy's last name was Hen.
Okay.
Chris Hen?
No, not Chris Hen. One is from BJ's Restaurant. One is from an animal group. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's only 2 real questions.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
The Game Boy.
Heartbreakingly close.
The Game Boy looks content, but troubled.
Yes. The Game Boy wants it even more.
This is worse than a loss.
This is funny. I'll read this question, and when I get to the word hen, you guys are going to love it.
Yes. This is exciting.
Do you have a name for us?
Tittle.
Yep. What?
Tittle. It's like Oprah. One word.
Tittle.
Why? Yo, I'm Tittle.
Tittle writes.
Tittle.
So I'm a senior in high school, and there's a girl in my orchestra that I kind of like. Mm-hmm. We talk every day, and there is some definite flirting going on.
Okay.
We went on one date, but it was very casual. Since then, we have talked.
What a typo.
Since then. Oh, and then later they go to a chicken rooster farm. So perfect. It does come up. No. Since hen, we have talked and the spark fizzled out a bit. Since we had Thursday and Friday off, Wednesday night, the school hosted a dance, and the whole time she was grinding on one of my friends with me, standing right there.
Jesus.
Love grinding.
Now I know that we weren't dating at all, and I'm not mad whatsoever at her friend.
Right.
But I don't know where to go from here. She has told me that she liked me one time over text, and one of her friends also told me that she likes me.
Okay.
I want to make this girl official, but after Wednesday, I feel weird asking her out.
Sure.
After her and my friend grinded all night long. Should I just ask my friend if he's cool with it? I already asked him if they were a thing, and he said, I don't know, probably not. So what should I do? This girl's really great, and I like her a lot. Thanks.
Mm. Love. We should talk about grind culture for a second. And what grinding, I mean, Jake, it seems like you understand grinding like I understand grinding.
I fucking love grinding.
Did everyone here grow up in a grinding at Sweet 16's environment? Where dancing wasn't, there was no space between you and your dancing.
My bar mitzvah was the first time I grinded.
Yeah.
Really?
I would grind with anybody. My friend's girlfriends, my friends.
And it's always, you're both facing the same way?
It can go one
way. Oh, no, it's got to be, I love
face-to-face butt.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like butt. Oh, fuck, it doesn't even matter.
That's it.
I like butt-to-butt grinding.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, facing away grinding.
Yeah, exactly. I just grind my ass on her ass.
Yeah, or a wall.
Yeah, we would call them reggae lines, too. Did you guys call them reggae lines?
Is that when everyone's grinding in a ring?
It's basically a bunch of horny pubescent teens, like almost like braiding their knees together. Ooh, so that, you know, their penises and her butt are just jamming the song Too Close by Neck. Step back, you're feeling kind of close.
Yeah.
Feel a little poke coming through from you.
That's a boner. That's a boner.
So that song's all about grinding.
You felt it.
Yeah. Boy, you know I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know what I wanna do.
Masturbate with olive oil.
Yeah. is the coda.
I remember going from like sixth grade. We were slow dance. It was all about slow dance.
Yes.
And you get a small erection. And like the goal was to like stand far enough away that it was like, she cannot feel it. And then 1 year later, seventh grade is like, oh, I want everyone to feel the erection. And she's got to get close. And she wants to feel it on her too.
And grinding is really physically grinding on one another. Yeah. It's basically dry humping on the dance floor.
It's the most you can fuck like, without fucking.
I'm 30. Exactly. I still love grinding.
I'm with you, Jake. Who wouldn't want a good grind?
MTV's the grind.
So to this kid's question, I wouldn't be... I think everyone on earth loves grinding. There's no cheating. You're not cheating, and you're not even showing necessary, like, I choose you because I'm grinding with you. I think everybody just wants to get a good grind.
That's just adolescent hormones overfloweth.
Yeah, it just, I can't even stand my dick not rubbing against anything. And if it's rubbing against another a vagina or a butt, like, that's the best feeling you can get.
Literally the best, too. Like, grinding means a lot to those people.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
that could be the equivalent of making out.
Yes. She might like this dude, but she might also like the guy she's grinding with. I don't think that you need to like pay any credence to the grind, though.
Exactly.
Like the fact that it happened is fine, and just keep on operating like it never happened.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up making out. Somehow, even though boners and butts are in the grinding equation, it's still less intimate than making out.
Oh, yeah.
Like I would feel like that girl is not as necessarily interested. If she was making out with that dude, that's a different
story. Whole different ballgame. Whole different ballgame.
Despite the fact that she has your best friend's boner in her butt on the dance floor, it's still somehow less intimate, and she's making less of a big choice.
Because there's fabric. Might
like that's you. Just dancing.
That's just it, man. Yeah. That's just MTV's the grind.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't sweat it. I would, in fact, just try and grind up on any other person that seems like a willing partner.
You should be grinding yourself.
Yes.
So go for it.
Yeah. Find a willing grinder out there.
You already wrote for it.
Get your grind on.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Jake, thank you,
thrilled that we finished with grinding. That's a subject that really played a large part in my adolescence.
Could that be last the name of the episode?
Grinding. Yeah, we could do that. Last time we ended with fish fillet, so this time all your favorites.
We are also going to go to McDonald's and get another fish fillet.
Get more fish fillet.
At the end of every podcast, whether it has to do with fish fillet or not.
I know that it's poor form to start a new conversation when the host has clearly segued into the end, but can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
I posted a picture of Jake holding an open fish fillet from our trip to McDonald's that time. And okay, you guys have so many fans, you get a lot of likes, that was something new for me, but there was a series of your fans who started freestyle rapping in the comments section.
Oh.
And so sometimes every so often I'll get huge chunks of freestyle raps about the fish fillet, but it seems like they're directed to you. Is that something that you guys get a lot of?
I don't get a lot of freestyle raps.
Okay, so that's a singular...
That's just a you problem, I think. Or not a problem. You honor.
Honored.
You privilege.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we could talk more about that while getting fish fillets after the podcast.
Yeah, let's get some fish.
What if people want to listen to more Billy and Adam? Where's the No Joke podcast located? And what is the No Joke podcast?
The No Joke podcast is on this very HeadGum network.
Great.
That we sit inside of as we speak.
Thank
God. We're recording out of the studio.
We throw it out every Friday. Episodes go up every Friday.
Great.
And it's Billy and I goofing around. Sometimes we have a guest. Sometimes we don't. And we usually take one topic and we talk about our previous, our present, and our future experience with it. But again, that's super loose.
So
you really just goof off.
When I was on, we talked about jobs. Jake was on and talked about directing.
That's right.
Ben Schwartz was on an episode. You talked about basketball.
Yep.
One of my favorites.
Milana was there. We talked about Burning Man. Episode that's coming out, in fact, came out last week, was all about ghosts and my history with interacting with ghosts and being haunted.
There's something for everybody. So if you guys want even more great podcast content, check out the No Joke podcast on the HeadGum Network.
Please.
Guys, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my God, thanks for having us. I feel like I learned a lot about penises and food.
Yeah, olive oil and grinding.
Basically.
Grinders. The opening theme song, again, was written by that band Kuro Kuma. And this last one is written by Danny Steele.
Love it.
Nice. Can I just exit with an image for everybody?
Sure.
It's just the that guy pouring olive oil down his pants and then walking confidently out to a dance floor to grind on somebody.
It seems like the you describing a Gil O'Zeary snap.
Exactly. Why not?
Pouring olive oil down his pants and walking away.
To grind.
All right, cool. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Later.
If I were you with a drink and a meal.
I were you sure.
If I were you with a drink and a meal.
If I were you sure.
If I were you.
If I were you sure.
If I were you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.